before an army goes to war, they strategize. They have to find out how if they can actually beat the enemy. See, armies go to war, they just don't decide, oh, let's just go to battle against that particular country. You have to find out you can beat him. You know, they had to go through strategies and you know, planning and find out, I mean, let's see the strengths and the weaknesses of that army to see if I have a chance. You see the same pattern in sports. Before a team faces another team, they have to find out, okay, what is that team's strength? What is that team's weakness? We have to find out. We have to do the strategy so that we can have a better success of the outcome in the battle. I mean, you see that every team, whatever sports you like, I mean, in football, there's a lot of, like, coming together. This is the play we're going to come up with so that we can win this battle. Baseball, you have to follow the signs of the coaches and the bases. Basketball, we got to draft this play and you guys have to execute it to the team so that we can win. Otherwise, we're going to be loser. We're going to lose this battle. We're going to lose this competition, this conflict that we come upon. You and I are in a battlefield. We are at war. I don't know if you realize that. The moment you say yes to Jesus Christ, you enter this battlefield. You enter this war. And you know, it's sad because sometimes Christians just, they live their lives and they think that, you know, always becoming a casualty of the war because the enemy is really taking a lot of advantage of them. Because either they neglect that they are in this war and we have these strong enemies. As Christians, you and I need to know our enemy in order to prevail against this war. We need to know how the enemy thinks because he knows how we think. He knows how where to hit us. But so, I mean, it saddens me when you go and you research statistics and 53% of Christians in America, they don't believe that our enemy is even real. And I mean, that's, they're already losing the battle right there, just thinking that he's not real and that he's not gonna come and attack him. You see, at the end of the letter in Ephesians, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesian church, and he talks to them about a lot of things. He talks to them about that you have been made alive in Christ in chapter 2. He talks about, you know, you gotta forget about what you used to do. Now you are a new creation in Christ. And he told them, he gave instructions to husbands and wives. He gave instructions to slaves and free, because at that moment, at that particular time in history, there were a lot of slaves in church, and there were also owners of slaves in church. And he gives them instruction how to deal the biblical way, how to deal the Christ-centered way with one another. And towards the end of the letter, then Paul reminds them and says, hey, now get ready for battle. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at, Paul visited a church during his, it wasn't a church, he visited a city around 52 and 55 AD, and then there was a church established in Ephesus. Even Jesus later on, through the apostle John, writes a letter to the Ephesian church. That was a church later on that they were forsaken the first love. Remember when Jesus said, but I have this against you, you're forsaking your first love, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. So you have your Bibles with you, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's hear what the Apostle Paul reminded Christians, and let's see what we can learn from that, because we need to understand that we are at war. We are in this battlefield. And in order for us to be able to succeed, we need to know the strategy. We need to know, there's some things here that Paul's going to tell that church that we need to apply to our lives today in order for us to defeat the enemy. Chapter 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. That's Ephesians 6:10. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The first thing you and I need to know, now we know we are at war. Like I said, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you enter this conflict. It's almost the ultimate battle between good and evil. You see that even through cartoons. There's always portrayed this good versus evil. In movies, there's always a superhero that wins. There's always one who loses. This ultimate battle between God's people and Satan. We are in this war. I mean, unless you want to quit and say, you know, but then you quit and you join the other army. I just think, I mean, you still have a choice to make, but you say yes to Jesus, I'm just here to tell you, it's not going to be a walk in the park. For some people today, they think Christianity is like, you know, gospel, prosperity, whatever. It's tough. That's what Jesus said, you know, you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. It's not going to be easy. But whoever wants to win his life for me might lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, he said. So I just want to let you know before you enter this conflict. But you say yes to me, you're going to have battle. You're going to be in this war. But then he said that we can get ready. That you and I can be, like Mandisa said, overcomers. We love that song. But sometimes the sad news is that many Christians, we live like defeated Christians. And we sing, you are an overcomers because the Bible tells me so. If he tells me so, then I better believe it. The first thing you and I need to know about this fight, this battle we're in, like Paul says right here, finally, he says, concluding his letter, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, you and I need to be in the Lord. You and I need to depend on the Lord's strength. Because on our own power, we cannot win this battle. It doesn't matter how strong, how long you've been in the church, you think you are that strong, you are not. On your own power, you cannot. Peter thought he was. Remember the promise he made to Jesus? Even if everybody falls down, I will never. Jesus said, really? And remember what happened next. You and I, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord. That's why Paul, the same writer, later on he writes to another church in Philippi. And he said to that church in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Not because I'm Paul. I can do all things because, you know, I've been in the church so long. Is that why he says? He says, I can do all things through Christ. Because he is my strength. You and I, to be able to succeed in this battle, need to depend on the strength of the Lord. Because of my own strength, I want to fail. We all going to fall down. And the enemy, we might become casualty of war. We need to depend on our captain, commander-chief. It's all about him. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. And then Paul later on said, you got to be dressed ready for battle. See, God doesn't want you to be a casualty of war. He has given us his own strength, his power. And remember, we talked about greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we already have an advantage against the devil because we have a greater one. But sometimes we forget. Then Paul said, be ready, be strong in the Lord. And then he's going to give us a list of items to keep in mind for this battle. You got to be dressed. You see, in the army, some of you who have been in the army, you know that you need to get those everything before you go to war. Otherwise, you know, what if you then? Then you say, I didn't bring that with me. You know how embarrassing that would be? Like you went to war and you forgot some of the weapons and some of the equipment. And the captain will just be all over you if you do that. Like I said, there are a lot of Christians who live their lives in constant defeat from the enemy. One, because they kind of forget that they are at war, or they don't depend on the Lord. They don't depend on God really to give them their strength. Then Paul says, put on the full armor of God. He reminded the Ephesians to put on the whole armor. Why? Why do we have to be dressed up for battle? Why do we have to put the armor of God? Now, check that verse. It's not my armor. It says God's armor. In other words, our captain, our commander in chief, is providing us the uniform for battle. So you and I can't stand. So this armor of God, He's provided you. He's giving us His own strength, and He's giving us something that we can be dressed and ready, you know, suited for battle. Why? Why this armor? And then he says right there, why do we need this armor? He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes or the devil's traps. That's why we need to be dressed for battle. That's why we need the full armor of God. All of it. It's not a matter of like, well, I'm going to choose this element and this one. He says, take all of it. So that you can, in other words, without this armor, you won't be able to stand against the devil's schemes. Because He's wise. He knows our weaknesses. He's going to attack us right where it hurts. Where He knows that we are vulnerable. Remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And right there, when you read, right after baptism, which it happens to some of you, that's when things get tougher. Right after Jesus was baptized, the devil took him to and he was tempted in the desert. And when Jesus got hungry, he said, well, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. I mean, show me and you can do a miracle. And so God, using the word of God, twisting it. So, and Jesus said, you don't get it, Satan. Man does not live on bread alone. Now, if you are the Son of God, but cast yourself down, because the Bible says that the angels are going to come and protect you. Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the Bible says Satan left it until an opportune time. So if he tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt me. He's going to get ready and tempt you. He's going to come with all he got. And that's why we need to depend on the Lord's strength. And we need to be dressed for battle. I love those wars, like the Lord of the Rings. Like, you know, it was like, you have a brave heart, freedom. I mean, he's ready to go. I think Christians, we need to be like that too, you know. Joshua is that type of brave heart, type of leader. Get ready, because we are in this conflict. And if we want to succeed, we want to win this war, we need to be dressed, ready to go. Now, he talks about the enemy we're fighting. Remember, he says, put on the full armor so you can stand against the devil's schemes. And then verse 12, check this out. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not a Star Wars thing we're talking about here. The forces of evil. The enemy we're fighting, he says, it's not made of flesh and blood. In other words, it's not a physical enemy that you and I come. I mean, if we be a physical enemy, some of you probably can beat him. We cannot even see him. He says, our struggle, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The enemy, the devil, Jesus describes him in John 8, 44 and 45 as a murderer. He said he's been murdering people from the beginning, and he's a liar. When he speaks, he's speaking his native language, Jesus says. He's deceiving the whole world. That's what the enemy does. Peter describes him as a ferocious lion seeking its prey. So some of us that watch the Discovery Channel, you know, like maybe a cheetah or a lion, like how they get ready, like looking. It's like, let me see how I'm going to attack and get that gazelle, whatever. That's how Satan does on you. I mean, you think I'm playing, but you know, you go and you ignore that. He's always checking you out. It's like, okay, you beat that temptation. Let me crank it up now. Let me get something else. Like, you know, you had to curse God, so you stop walking the walk. And that's all he wants. Satan's job is so that you and I don't become the man and woman that God wants us to be. Satan's job is that you and I stop walking the Christian walk and give up and quit. That's his job. And he's going to do everything in his power to do exactly that. So you just, I mean, when he came to Job, what was his goal? So that he would curse you in your face, he told God. And God said, really? Okay, you're free to do whatever you want, but do not touch his soul. And Job did not curse God, even when he lost everything. Even when his own wife said, man, what are you waiting for? Curse God and die. And he said, you're foolish. You're foolish. You don't even know what you're talking about. The Lord God gave it. The Lord God took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan did not win the battle. Now, he won the battle. And Peter, there were a couple in the church and Ananias and Sapphira, and we're told we have this great fellowship, and Satan just decided to, he came into their hands and deceived them. And later on, Peter said, how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? They dropped dead. That first couple that died because they lied to God in the fellowship of the church. And it was because Satan deceived him. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Jesus said he doesn't hang on to the truth. There's no truth in him. And Peter said he acts like a lion just waiting for his prey. He's waiting for you because he tried to devour you. The conflict we're in, my brothers and sisters, is a cosmic battle. It's not an earthly thing that, you know, you and I don't see it. He might be sitting here today listening to, you know, it's interesting. Every time I preach about, let me just confess something to you right now. Every time I preach about this battle, I get more temptation that week. Seriously. It's almost like Satan doesn't want me to talk about this thing. Because then it's almost like, let's not preach about that. Because like, I want just, cool. But I got more temptation before I get ready to preach about this thing. Because he doesn't want you and I to know how we can defeat him. And I need to rely on the Lord's strength. I need to be suited for, I need to get the items of the armor of God so that I can stand my ground against him. This conflict is not physical. It's not flesh and blood, an enemy that you can just punch in the face and he's gone. You can. Some of us wish that we could do that to Satan. It's not going to help you. So if we are in this spiritual battle, we need to have some spiritual weapons by which we can attack him. I mean, listen to the word. Rulers and authority in the dark world. When you go to Colossians, it says that all things were created by him, things in heaven and things on earth. And then he talks about principalities and rulers and authorities. He's talking about this demon world that you and I have no idea. It's almost like something out there that we cannot see, but they're seeing us every day. They're checking you and I out. And they know our every move, our every step. Because, I mean, think about how on earth are you and I going to be able to defeat or stand against enemy that you and I cannot even see? And he's that powerful. Rulers and authorities. When Jesus walked on earth, they were the only ones who knew really Jesus' identity. When Jesus came across somebody who was demon possessed, they just stopped right there. And they said, Jesus, what you doing here, man? That's my paraphrase, by the way. They said, like, is it time yet? Because they knew that the Son of God is walking on earth. So that means that the time is coming when we're going to be bound. We're going to be chained up. And they would say to Jesus, please, remember the one that Jesus is saying to a pig, do not torment me, because Jesus is the torment of the demons. You see, they come here to torment you. So you got Jesus, you're okay. Stand in the Lord and in his power so you can stand your ground and be suited for battle. This enemy, you know, a lot of times, a lot of Christians don't believe that we are in this war. And it's because in America, we have desensitized ourselves about spiritual warfare. You go to Africa and you go to Haiti. I mean, the church, you go to a worship service in Haiti. There's a witch that comes with a branch so that you guys close the church. And some of my friends post that on Facebook. Now, think about going to Haiti to be a Christian when you got this. It's evident, the warfare right there. That somebody's mad that you're preaching the Lord and they're going to do anything. And they're going conjuring up things and spirit against you. I mean, some of us, like, maybe somebody else can be a missionary. I stay here. I give you the money. You go. Because this battle is real. And some of you have dealt with things like that. You know, demon possessions. Yes, we want to give him a medical name. And in those days, Jesus had to cast out a lot of demons from people. And you go, like I said, you go to Africa and you go to places, then you get to see the power of Satan displayed. And he might scare the pejibis out of you when you're there. This is the enemy we're facing. I remember one of the things that turned me more into the Lord, because I saw that I was 12 years old and the devil came to church that day. And my dad did not preach a sermon that day, because when he was praying, this lady just jumped out there and she was angry at everybody with a weird voice. Now the church was empty in a moment when that happened, because I mean she was mad at, I mean, walking around, you know, and weird. And a couple of the elders trying to restrain it, they could not. It's like the devil came to church that day. And it wasn't pretty. People had never seen anything like that. And the demon was cast out. And the lady now is preaching the gospel. Praise God. But it's almost like, I was 12 years old and I was there and I had nightmares from that moment on. I always was dreaming that I was fighting the devil and that I was winning someday, and some days I'm running away from him. And it's almost like, I mean, imagine the trauma for a 12-year-old looking at this woman that foaming from the mouth and mad at everybody in the church. And yes, it wasn't Hollywood invention. It was something that happened. We saw it. And some of you can testify something like that you've seen. Because this enemy is real. He might be choking you up when you don't realize. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground against this powerful enemy. So how could you possibly stand against a powerful enemy whom you cannot even see? The answer is right here in the text. Standing in the Lord and in his power, and be dressed up, putting on the full armor of God. Now he lists the armor. He goes and says, verse 13, therefore put on the full armor so that so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Then stand firm with the belt of truth. There's the elements of the armor that we're talking about. Melanie, you have the next. He talks about the belt of truth. Stand the belt of truth. So Paul has in mind, it wasn't an American soldier that he had in mind. They were not Americans back then. He was a Roman soldier. He uses the analogy of warfare. So the Roman soldiers, how they were dressed. And so the belt of truth, he says. Then he also talks about the breastplate of righteousness in place. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. So your shoes really be the gospel. Then he talks about, in addition, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray constantly with all kinds of prayer. Pray in the Spirit, he said. When I was examining all these items of the armor of God, he says, this is the full armor of God right here. Paul gives the church the belt of truth. Breastplate, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, Bible, prayer. Do you notice they all like spiritual discipline? They're not physical weapons either. They're spiritual weapons. God gave us those. The truth. Why? Because Jesus already says Satan does not stand on the truth. And he says, I am the truth. In order to be Satan, don't switch it. Don't try to change. Just stand on the truth. And I love the breastplate of righteousness to cover your chest right there. What's another word for righteousness? Justice. Satan is all about unrighteousness, injustice in the world. And Christians are to stand for justice and do the right thing. Righteousness. Then you talk about the faith. The faith is like a shield. That's the only defensive weapon we have. Satan attacks you, just like blocking. There's a lot of Christians, all they do in life is blocking shots. They don't know how to attack Satan. They don't play offense on the devil. All they do in the faith eventually is going to get weakened, because all you're doing day by day, getting hit, and you're protecting yourself. That's all you can do. Take the shield of faith so you can extinguish, the arrows, the flaming arrows. Satan's, think about it. It's our faith. Somebody said the worth of a soldier is never known in time of peace. It's in time of war that you know really if you have faith in God or not. When you cannot pay the bills and you trust in God to provide, that's when you know you really have faith or not. And then he talks about salvation. It's like a helmet. And then take the sword, that's the offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit. That's how you can really do some damage to the devil. And then he says, pray constantly in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and supplications. And I included this one in verse 18. After he said, pray in the Spirit. And then he says, with this in mind, be alert. In other words, don't be off guard. Be alert. Because this enemy is just going to attack you. It's not if, it's when he attacks you. You need to be alert. Be ready. See, these are spiritual weapons to defeat spiritual enemies that you and I cannot see. Now, Paul, the same writer, in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, he said this. That's verse 3. For though we walk in flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We already know that. It's not a fleshly enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. For our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is what we do with this weapon. You know, Satan will come, try to destroy the knowledge of Jesus, and we make him straight with the weapons that we have. We have spiritual weapons to defeat our spiritual enemy. Like I said, we stand on righteousness. Satan is going to stand on righteousness. You see, even today, the gospel message is being watered down. That's what Satan wants. Don't preach the whole gospel truth. Don't talk about hell and you know, God being a God of justice, that if you messed up, you're going to have him against you. Some people out there, they're twisting the gospel, and Satan is happy because, you know, you're not standing on the truth of Christ. You're just distorting it. You hear about prosperity gospel that telling you people are going to bless you. You say that prayer. Where in the Bible is that? And some people are following that, and Satan is happy, and churches don't even preach Jesus anymore. Jesus is not even God anymore for some people, and Satan is just laughing and happy because we're twisting that truth. We Christian, we need to stand on the truth. And how are we going to know the truth? Jesus said, you will know the truth and he will set you free. And he is the truth, and he has given us the truth. But what if we don't even know how to use that weapon? We had to resist them, standing firm on their faith through the gospel. I mean, some of us don't even know what the gospel is anymore. The Galatians did not know. And Paul said the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, he died, and resurrected he, on the third day. And salvation is only found in him. And is anybody else, if an angel came from heaven and told you a different gospel than that, may that angel be condemned, Paul said. There's only one gospel, one faith, one salvation, one baptism, one Lord. And he's Lord of all. We need to stand on that truth because the words are not twisted. And if you don't know, you're going to go with the flow. Stand firm, my brothers. This battle is real. Besides being clothed and dressed for battle, it's essential for us. God doesn't want you to fail. He does not want you to become a casualty of war. That's why he gave you a preparation. And it's up to you and I to take it. If you don't take it, then you know what's going to happen. Now, the question is, how familiar are you to these weapons? Do you even know how to use them? Have you ever seen people like, I mean, send somebody to a war and they never used a gun? They might end up killing themselves. I mean, Army, some of you who have been in the Army, you know you got to go through the training to make sure you know how to use those things. We have weapons. We have the gospel. We need to know what the gospel is. We have the truth. We need to know what the truth is, especially in our postmodern society that tells you that truth is relative. You need to know that there's absolute truth because he has given us to us. And you need to stand on that truth. I mean, in a society, you know, there's injustice and people don't recognize that you and I need to stand for justice. You and I need to stand for righteousness. And we need to speak up when we need to. There's a lot of Christians just quiet. And we wonder where our country is going the way it's going. Now, what kind of soldiers goes to war without weapons? Are you going to go to war without, the Word of God? Then if you happen to go to war like that, you're going to become, like I said, a casualty of war. Don't be a casualty of war. God wants you to be ready. He calls you and I to be ready for battle. And we depend on his strength. He has given us the uniform so that you and I can stand your ground. Truth, righteousness, faith, gospel. The gospel, the readiness. It says, it's almost like, you know, when you're in a conflict, you need to have good feet. If you don't have good feet, you know, either it's push or you fall. It's foundation. Even every sport, they will tell you that. I mean, think, why do you think they go, get ready. I'm planted right here. I'm not moving from the gospel. That's what the guy is. Ready for battle. And then the shield. You throw it. But then I have to be able, you know, I'm not just going to play defense. Imagine a team, you only play defense. You're not going to win any games. Play defense. You got to play offense too. You got to hit him. That's how Jesus did. And you and I have the same weapons to hit the enemies today. I found this quote when I preparing the sermon. Now, I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's last name.
If you can, then you, I know his name is Warren. Wisby? I don't know. He said the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. And then he says, and we must be on guard all the times. The Christian, and I love that. I just learned, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And we must be on our guard at all times. That's what I want to leave you with today. The praise team is going to come and we're going to be singing the songs of invitation. You know that many of us go through a lot of conflicts, and you know Satan will use anything to distract us, to take us out of that war, to win over us. He's never giving up, but in the same way, we should not give up learning about the weapons that we have, relying on the power of our Christ, of God, so that we can be able to stand. It's not going to be easy. We're going to be fighting this battle. You know, like most wars, they end. You know how this battle will end? When Jesus comes back. Or when you die. But in the meantime, as long as you live on this earth and you are a Christian, get ready for battle. This battle is real, and we know how we can defeat the enemy. It's up to you what you're going to do with the weapons that he has given to us. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that you have created us, and you placed us here on this earth where Satan reigns, really. But you also gave us the equipment. You gave us your strength. You are our power source, Lord, so that we can stand our ground against the powerful enemy that we come against. Lord, thank you, because really the battle is already won through you. But Satan is not giving up. He still wants to distract us so that we go and walk a different path. He still doesn't want us to become the men and women that you have called us to become. He still doesn't want us to praise you. He wants us to curse you and to give up on you, Father. Thank you that even though at times we give up on you, you never give up on us. And you're always pursuing us, Father. Thank you, because we are equipped and ready to fight on your behalf. Because truly, we are overcomers. You overcame. You said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Be strong, because I have overcome this world. And thank you, you did it. And you promised that we will also overcome. And thank you for the weapons that you have given us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the righteousness. Thank you for the faith. Lord, for your word. And thank you for the prayer that we can always come to you, Lord, because we cannot rely on our own strength. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us and giving us the opportunity to be victorious for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.